Welcome to Bhakti Sangha Japa conference call. Today we are very fortunate to have His Grace Advait Chandra Prabhu to enlighten us on the glories of Lord Shiva and Sri Ishwarpuri. So thank you so much, Prabhuji, for giving a valuable association and time. So now I would like to hand over the call to you, Prabhuji. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Thank you. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskrityam Naram Chaiva Narottamam Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam Tato Jaya Mudiraye Nashtaprayeshu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavat Sevaya Bhagavati Uttama Shloke Bhakti Bhavati Naishtiki Krishnaya Vasudevaya Devaki Nandanaya Cha Nanda Gopa Kumaraya Govindaya Namo Namaha Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 24, Text 29, Chapter entitled Chanting of the song sung by Lord Shiva. Swadharma nishtha shata janma bhi puman virinchatameti tata param himam avyakritam bhagavato vaishnavam vadam yathaham vibhudha kalachaye Swadharma nishtha shatas janma bhi puman virinchatameti tata param himam avyakritam bhagavatotha vaishnavam padam yathaham vibhudha kalachaye. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. A person who executes his occupational duty properly for 100 births becomes qualified to occupy the post of Brahma. And if he becomes more qualified, he can approach Lord Shiva. A person who is directly surrendered to Lord Krishna or Vishnu in unalloyed devotional service is immediately promoted to the spiritual planet. Lord Shiva and other demigods attain these planets after the destruction of this material world. Purport. This verse gives an idea of the highest perfection of evolutionary process, as described by the Vaishnava poet Jayadev Goswami. Ralaya payodhi jale dhritavana sivedam. Let us begin tracing the evolutionary process from the point of devastation, pralaya, when the whole universe is filled with water. At that time, there are many fishes and other aquatics. And from these aquatics evolve creepers, trees, etc. From these, insects and reptiles evolve, and from them, birds, beasts, and then human beings, and finally, civilized human beings. Now, the civilized human being is at a junction where he can make further evolutionary process in spiritual life, progress in spiritual life. Here it is stated, Swadharma Nishtha, that when a living entity comes to a civilized form of life, there must be Swadharma, social divisions according to one's work and qualification. This is indicated in Bhagavad Gita 4.13. Chaturvarnyam maya srishtam gunakarma vibhagasha. According to the three modes of material nature and the work ascribed to them, the four divisions of human society were created by me. In civilized human society, there must be the division of Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, and Shudra, and everyone must properly execute his occupational duty in accordance with his division. Here it is described, Swadharma Nishtha, that it does not matter whether one is a Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, or Shudra. If one sticks to his position and properly executes his particular duty, he is considered a civilized human being. Otherwise, he is no better than an animal. It is also mentioned herein that whoever executes his occupational duty, Swadharma, for 100 births, for instance, if a Brahmana continues to act as a Brahmana, becomes eligible for promotion to Brahmaloka, the planet where Lord Brahma lives. There is also a planet called Shivaloka or Sadashivaloka, which is situated in a marginal position between the spiritual and material worlds. If after being situated in Brahmaloka, one becomes more qualified, he is promoted to Sadashivaloka. Similarly, when one becomes even more qualified, he can attain the Vaikuntha Loka. The Vaikuntha Loka is a target for everyone, even the demigods, and they can be attained by a devotee who has no desire for material benefits. As indicated in Bhagavad Gita 8.16, one does not escape material misery, even if he is elevated to Brahma Loka. A Brahma Bhuvana Loka Punaravartino Arjuna. Similarly, one is not very safe, even if he is promoted to Shivaloka, because the planet of Shivaloka is marginal. However, if one attains Vaikuntha Loka, he attains the highest perfection of life and at the end of the evolutionary process. Mamupetya tu Kaunteya Punarjanmana Vidyate. In other words, it is confirmed herein that a person in human society who has developed consciousness must take to Krishna consciousness in order to be promoted to Vaikuntha Loka or Krishna Loka immediately after leaving the body. Tyaktva deham punarjanma naiti mameti swarjuna. A devotee who is fully in Krishna consciousness, who is not attracted by any other loka or planet, including Brahma Loka and Shiva Loka, is immediately transferred to Krishna Loka, mameti. That is the highest perfection of life and the perfection of the evolutionary process. Om Ajnanati Mirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine. Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine. Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So we'd like to wish everyone a very happy Shivaratri. Today is the auspicious day of Shivaratri, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also used to take remnants of Lord Shiva. Srila Prabhupada also explains the importance of Lord Shiva. And Shivaratri has many, many different devotees say different understandings of Shivaratri. But the Shivaratri is one of the interpretations is that it is the day of marriage of Lord Shiva and Parvati. And the devotees, the entire night, they worship Lord Shiva and they fast. Bay leaves are offered, just like Krishna likes tulasi, Lord Shiva likes bay leaves. So in this verse, it is said that if one executes proper occupational duty according to Varnashram Dharma for 100 births, then that person becomes qualified to occupy the post of Brahma. And if he becomes more qualified, then he can go to Shivaloka or Sadashivaloka, as Prabhupada says. And beyond that is the Vaikuntha Loka. I believe I was told that yesterday the glories of Lord Shiva were explained in detail. And so today I would like to focus on the glories of Ishwarapuri, who is also, whose celebration was also this week. But we will also speak about Lord Shiva a little bit in order to glorify him on this day of Shivaratri. Lord Shiva, it is explained by in Brahma Samhita, Kshiram Yatha Dadhi Vikara Vishesha Yoga, which means when milk touched by lemon turns into curd, in the same way, Vishnu or Krishna is non-different than Lord Shiva. He is tinged with the material modes. Vishnu, Krishna, they are above the three modes of nature. But when they are tinged a little bit with the material mode, then the same Krishna takes the form of Lord Shiva. If we perform certain activities, pious activities, we can, a living entity can actually get the post of a Brahma. Brahma is a post. Indra is a post. Even Vyasa is a post. But Shiva is not a post. Shiva is a person. Krishna, Vishnu, is not a post. They are actual people. We cannot become Shiva, we cannot become Krishna, but we can get the post of Brahma. As he said, one who performs the occupational duty for 100 births, then they become qualified to occupy the post of Brahma. If he becomes qualified, he can approach Lord Shiva, not become Lord Shiva, nor become Vishnu. But yes, so Lord Shiva is very, very special. He's very dear to Krishna, Vaishnavanam Yatha Shambhu. And Srila Prabhupada and Lord Chaitanya said that we worship Lord Shiva, but in the mood of him being a devotee of Krishna. Vaishnavanam Yatha Shambhu. There are several pastimes of how Lord Shiva, actually Lord Shiva, we see he's always meditating. Who is he meditating on? It is said he's meditating on Lord Sankarsana. That is his meditation. And Sankarsan is none other than the Anantashesh. And therefore the snakes on Lord Shiva's body, they represent that he is in meditation of Sankarsan. So it's very important that we worship. We, Srila Prabhupada never discouraged the worship of demigods, but he encouraged that demigods should be worshipped in the proper mood, with the proper understanding of their position vis-a-vis Lord Krishna. Two things we have to understand when we are worshipping any devata is that we should understand they are devotees of Krishna, and we should not ask any material benediction from them. We should actually ask spiritual benediction of, please take us closer to Krishna. Give me Krishna bhakti. And that's what we should pray to Lord Shiva. And Lord Shiva will be very, very pleased when he is glorified as Vaishnavanam Yatha Shambhu, because that is his true position, and he loves that. His devotees glorify him as the Supreme, but he considers Krishna to be the Supreme. When we take shelter, Krishna reciprocates with our dependence on Him. When we chant the holy name, how much are we chanting with dependence on Krishna? When we depend on Krishna, Krishna reciprocates with that dependence, just like He reciprocated the dependence of Draupadi. When she was being disrobed, she just raised her arms and said, "Hey Govinda." And just then, Krishna appeared in the form of sari to cover her. Because she called out in such great dependence on Krishna. In Nectar of Devotion, Srila Prabhupada, it's written that Krishna says, when Draupadi called out my name with utter dependence, I became indebted to her and I could not stop myself from coming. We can chant, but how we chant is more important.
Bolaria.
Are we chanting the Hare Krishna mantra by thinking, okay, I have my life is set, my material life is good, I have good bank balance, my friends are happy with me, everything is going really good, and I have plans for my future and things like that. And I'm chanting also because it's a good thing to chant, and because I'll ask for some purification and things like that. If we chant this way, Krishna will reciprocate with that much dependence. But if we chant with complete dependence, Krishna, none of my material opulence, my beauty, my knowledge, my opulence, none of that will save me. None of that will actually give me pure love for you. I'm completely, utterly dependent on you. I beg you, even though I do not deserve pure love of God, please accept me. I do not deserve to be accepted by you for what I have done, for what I left you in the spiritual world and I came to this material world. I do not deserve to be taken back, but by the mercy of my Guru Maharaj, by mercy of Srila Prabhupada, I beg you, please accept me. I've realized that I should not have left you. I want to come back to you. And none of these opulences will help me build this relationship with you. I want to build a relationship. Please, O Radhe, please engage me in your service. O Krishna, please attract me. Attract my heart. Rama, please grant me the spiritual strength so I can come to you. I can surrender to you. Unless we chant with this utter dependence on Krishna, Krishna will not reciprocate in that way. Similarly, if we depend on some demigod, or we depend on some devata or some higher being, or even a human being with higher powers, Krishna wants us to depend on Him and Him alone. That's when we will actually develop some faith, where we will experience His reciprocation in that way. So when we worship the devatas, when we worship Lord Shiva, Lord Shiva is very pleased when we approach to Him as Vishnu and we pray to Him, please give me devotion to Lord Krishna. And in this way, this was the quality of utter dependence which was glorified in the life of Srila Ishwarapuri. Srila Ishwarapuri, he came in a Brahmana family. He was the disciple of the great Madhavendrapuri. Madhavendrapuri is the first acharya in our sampradaya, in Gaudiya Vaishnava sampradaya, who manifested pure love for Krishna in conjugal love in our sampradaya. Before that, we were Brahma Madhva sampradaya. In Madhvacharya sampradaya, the Vatsalya ras is very much prominent. But from Madhavendra Puri onwards, the Madhurya ras was the prominence was gained and was experienced first by Madhavendra Puri in our sampradaya. And then Madhavendra Puri's disciple was Ishwara Puri. There were several disciples. But at the end of his life, Madhavendra Puri became invalid. And Srila Ishwara Puri, he was completely engaged in the service of Srila Madhavendra Puri, his spiritual master, and would clean his stool, would sing bhajans to him, would constantly keep reminding him of Krishna. And Srila Madhavendra Puri was so pleased with him, so pleased. Because Srila Ishwara Puri pleased his spiritual master, Srila Madhavendra Puri, it is said that is the reason Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted Srila Ishwara Puri as his spiritual master because of his bhakti towards his guru. And Srila Madhavendra Puri blessed him, "May you attain Krishna Prema." That's why Lord Chaitanya accepted him as his spiritual master. In fact, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu first met Ishwara Puri in Navadvip Dham when Ishwara Puri was actually staying in the house of Gopinath Acharya. But before that, when Srila Ishwara Puri came to Sri Navadvip Dham, he wanted to be very low profile. And he went straight to the house of Srila Advaita Acharya because he was the foremost Vaishnava in Navadvip at that time. And Sri Advaita Acharya was worshipping his deities, was engaged in worship. And Srila Ishwara Puri came and just sat there looking at Advaita Acharya, having darshan of the deities, appreciating the devotion of Advaita Acharya. And with when he was sitting there, Sri Advaita Acharya could not help but notice Srila Ishwara Puri's devotional demeanor. And he was attracted to Srila Ishwara Puri. And he said, my dear sir, who are you? And Srila Ishwara Puri, he introduced himself as, "I am the lowest of all Shudras." This is how he introduced himself. This is the humility that he had. And then Mukunda Datta was sitting there, and in the temple, he started singing beautiful bhajan, glorifying Lord Krishna. Sri Vrindavan Das Thakur, he says, when Mukunda Datta sings, who can stop himself from this devotional ecstasy? And Srila Ishwara Puri, hearing those bhajans, went into devotional ecstasy and started, profuse tears were coming out of his eyes. And then everyone understood, this is a very great devotee, Srila Ishwara Puri. One day when Srila Ishwara Puri was walking in Navadvip Dham, he saw a very, very grave personality with perfect features. And he was spontaneously attracted to this person. And he couldn't but just stop him and ask him. He was a stranger, but he still stopped him. He said, "Who are you? Can I know what your name is, please? And where do you live? May I know who you are?" And this person said, "My name is Nimai Pandit." And Nimai Pandit was followed by his disciples, some of his disciples. His students were with him. And Ishwara Puri said, "What? You are the Nimai Pandit? The greatest scholar of Navadvip Dham?" And Nimai Pandit, he became very humble and he touched the lotus feet of Ishwara Puri and begged for blessing. He asked, please come to my home. I would like to serve you prasad." And Srila Ishwara Puri could not decline the invitation. And he accepted it. He went to his house and very nicely, Sachi Mata, Lord Chaitanya, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nimai Pandit at that time, he started serving Ishwarapuri. Since then, their relationship began. And Ishwarapuri stayed at the house of Gopinath Acharya, and he would read from his book to Gadadhar Pandit. Gadadhar Pandit was also a devotee. Of course, he's one of the Panchatattva devotees, but he was a devotee even before Nimai Pandit. Lord Chaitanya exhibited his devotional quality. And Srila Ishwarapuri would read from the book Sri Krishna Leelamrita, which was the book that Ishwarapuri himself had written. And he was reading to Gadadhar Pandit. Just then Nimai Pandit entered. He would go every day to see Srila Ishwarapuri. And Srila Ishwarapuri, when Nimai Pandit entered, Srila Ishwarapuri asked, "My dear Nimai Pandit, you are such a great scholar. I would really love if you can edit this book of mine, Sri Krishna Leelamrita." And Lord Chaitanya said, "No, you are a devotee. You are Krishna's bhakta. Whatever you write is perfect. It's perfect because with your writing, with your intention of every word is to please Krishna. And if Krishna is pleased, it's all perfect. Krishna is not pleased by the correct grammatical interpretation and correct grammatical presentation. He's pleased by the devotion. How can I dare to correct your treatise, which is Sri Krishna Leelamrita? This is perfect. I have nothing else to comment. I will be happy to read it, but I do not have anything to comment on it. I cannot criticize." And Srila Ishwarapuri's heart melted just seeing the devotion of Nimai Pandit. Anyway, later we know that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his father, left his body. Sri Jagannath Mishra left his body after his son took sannyas, Vishwarupa, the elder brother, took sannyas. And then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had to go to Gaya in Bihar. He had to go to Bodh Gaya to perform the last rites of his father. And after performing the last rites, he visited the temple of Vishnu in Gaya. There he worshipped the lotus feet of Vishnu. As soon as he saw the lotus feet of Vishnu, the devotional ecstasy started manifesting in his being. And he started crying. And he started wailing. Just then, Srila Ishwarapuri entered the temple. Seeing Ishwarapuri, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu melted even more. And he started glorifying Srila Ishwarapuri. "This is such an auspicious moment that you have come. I've been wanting to serve you all this while." And then Srila Ishwarapuri said, "You want to serve me? Well, I have not been able to, there is not even a moment that has gone that I have not thought about you since I came back from Navadvip. I don't know, just today, I had a dream. I had a dream with thousands of people. They had fruits in their hands, indicating fruit of love of God, which you are distributing. And since I've come from Navadvip, I cannot but just think about you." And then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "Please don't embarrass me. I want to accept you as my spiritual master. I beg, can you please give me the Gayatri Mantra?" And Srila Ishwarapuri was very happy. He said, "I'll be very fortunate to give you the Gayatri Mantra." And with that devotion, understanding that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, following his instruction, Srila Ishwarapuri gave the Gayatri Mantra to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And from then on, asked him to also chant the Hare Krishna mantra. In this way, with great humility, he left and he said, Ishwarapuri said, "I would consider myself very, very fortunate to just accept some rice from your lotus hand. That will be my Guru Dakshina, if you just cook a little bit. And Mahaprabhu then cooked with his own hand and fed Sri Ishwara Puri. Then after lunch, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he smeared some sandalwood pulp over the limbs of Srila Ishwara Puri, gave him some nice garland of flowers. And this was the Guru Puja that he performed. That's why, that's how we have, the sandalwood pulp on everyone's head that is given. In this way, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he actually instructed all of us, by his personal example, how to serve the Guru Parampara, how to honor a saintly person. Because only by service to the lotus feet of Guru, we can get the gateway to Krishna Bhakti. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was returning to Navadvip from Gaya, he visited a place called Kumarhatta. Kumarhatta is the place of birth of Srila Ishwara Puri. It's the divine birthplace. And upon arriving there, he became so filled with love and devotion towards Srila Ishwara Puri. His voice choked up in ecstasy out of gratefulness that Srila Ishwara Puri initiated him, that he soaked the earth with the tears of divine love. And before he left, he took some dust from that birth site of his Guru Maharaj. Seeing him, all his disciples, they come there and they take the dust from that place. And so many devotees have taken dust from that place that it has now become a pond. It's almost dug up, and there is a pond, and it's called Chaitanya Doba, which is the pond which previously there was no pond, but Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had taken the dust from that place. And as he left from Kumarhatta to Navadvip, he said, "This dust is my life and soul." And then we know that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he took sannyas, he went to Jagannath Puri on the order of his mother, and Srila Ishwara Puri, he finished his role in the Lord's manifest pastimes to initiate him, and he ordered his two disciples, Govinda and Kashishwar Pandit, to go and assist Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, render service to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and always stay near him. So Govinda became the personal servant of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, even though he was his god-brother. But he considered himself as a servant of the servant of the servant. So this is the glories of Srila Ishwara Puri. And also, we can understand here that in the, as Srila Prabhupada says, in the evolutionary process, the highest person is one who is a devotee who is in full Krishna consciousness, who is not attracted by any other loka or planet, including Brahma loka and Shiva loka. That person is immediately transferred to Krishna loka. Yaktva deham punarjanma naiti mameti swarjuna. Krishna says that such a person who is fully Krishna conscious, when he leaves the body, yaktva deham punarjanma, punarjanma na, meaning no birth again, then what happens to him? Mameti swarjuna. He comes back to me. And when that particular soul, when we are taken from this material world to Krishna Loka, even then, while being taken to Krishna Loka, if we immediately have a thought of being attracted to the opulences of Brahma Loka or to the opulences of Shiva Loka, boom, we are immediately transferred there. So we have to be very, very careful what kind of attachments are we cultivating in our life. Because those attachments will be tested at the time of death. That how, when we are transferred to Krishna Loka, whatever we are attracted to, even though we may have thought of Krishna at the time of death, but while the soul is being taken, if we get attached, if our consciousness is not fully immersed in Krishna, then we'll be attracted to Brahma Loka, Shiva Loka, or any of the demigod planets. And that's where we'll be left. So it's very important that we refrain from the 10 offenses. That's why we chant all the 10 offenses. 10th, to not have complete faith in the chanting of the holy names and to maintain material attachment even after understanding so many instructions on this matter. So in our consciousness, we should always try our best. Of course, we can only get rid of the material attachments by the mercy of Krishna and his devotees. But we should always keep up that desire. We should always, whenever the material desire starts disturbing us, we should immediately in our consciousness run towards our Guru Maharaj, run towards Srila Prabhupada, hold their lotus feet. Please, please help me. Look what's happening. This material desire is tormenting me. Please help me. I cannot do this. If we run to them with this consciousness, please give me the spiritual strength, we will see that we will actually be given the spiritual strength to overcome. We immediately open and start reading Srila Prabhupada's book. It will give us the strength and the absorption to be able to go away from this material desire that may have popped up. And every thought that is coming in our mind, we should be careful and conscious to overpower it with a devotional thought. Every material thought should be overpowered by the devotional thought. And if we can slowly develop that devotional emotion, then that can overpower all of our... Because thoughts come from emotion, ultimately. The fearful thought has come from the emotion of fear. If we just remove the thought will keep, more and more thoughts will keep coming because the root cause of the emotion is still there. Maybe we are feeling emotionally lonely, or we are feeling rejected, or we are feeling so many different things. And that's where all these fear and anxiety and negative feelings are coming from. But with devotional feelings of love, only love can actually overpower all of these negative emotions. So with this, we will end here. If there are any questions or comments, we can take. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Thank you for the class. Actually, I have a few questions. The first one is in connection to what you just finished saying, that that the thoughts come from emotions. And that was a little bit counterintuitive to me, because I normally think that emotions are due to the thoughts that we're having. You know, like if my thinking is that my security is due to my bank balance, right? Then the emotion of fear will come if I, you know, think that my bank balance might get wiped out, you know? So I'm just trying to understand this order, you know, between thought and emotion.
Well, the mind is the storehouse of all these emotions, and all the thoughts, because the thoughts come and go. The emotions stay longer than the thought. Thoughts are just like projecting on a cloud. projecting on smoke, right? And even when we are chanting, we see that so many thoughts come and go. But the source of those thoughts is actually emotion. If we are feeling fearful, then fearful thoughts will come, will manifest. If we overpower that thought with some other thought, some positive thought, still another fearful thought comes, and then we overpower it with another positive thought. But again, another thought will come until that emotion of fear subsides. We first feel and then we think. Yes, thoughts can influence emotions too. That's why we are saying positive thoughts. But ultimately, the source of those thoughts is some emotion that is there within us.
And then what would you say then is the source of the emotion then? You know, why do we have the variety of emotions that we have?
That is the nature of the soul. The soul has those emotions, and the emotions of pure love for Krishna, they are then, they go through the lens of the mind, the material mind. Depending on the modes of nature that are covering the material mind, those pure emotions of the soul are then distracted into different other material emotions. The spiritual emotions come from the soul, and they are then changed by the mind, material modes, into different material emotions. Our love for Krishna is then a spiritual love, is sometimes manifested as our love for our material family, or a material love for a film star, or material adoration. The soul only adores Krishna. Soul only wants to see Krishna dancing and enjoy with Krishna. But when it comes through the modes of nature and through the mind, then it is changed into material emotion. And that material emotion could be, now we want to see some film star dancing, and we want to adore them, and we want to cheer them, like that. So just like sunlight, when sunlight comes and it comes through a yellow glass, we'll see yellow light. Everything becomes yellow. When the pure sunlight goes through a green glass, everything is seen green. But the light is light, so the emotion is emotion. It is coming from the sun, it is coming from the soul. But the mind is like the glass, which, depending on what combination of modes are on the glass, that is the kind of light that will come out. That is the kind of material emotion it will be perceived as. It is still a spiritual emotion, but it gets, I would say, perceived as a material emotion by the mind. It gets reflected as material love. So the source is always spiritual. The source is always spiritual, but then when it goes through tamogun, it gets perceived as fear, because now we are identifying with the body, and so we get fearful that this body will go away, or someone will do something to us, because it gets transformed. But as soon as that glass, that mind, mirror of the mind, is cleaned completely, then the pure sunlight can pass through. If the glass has no color, it's a transparent glass, then we see a white light all throughout. And that's the purpose of bhakti, is to transform the material modes of nature, purify them so that the glass can be clear, and the white light can pass through.
Okay.
Source of emotions is the soul.
Yeah.
If there is no soul, there is no emotion. If the soul leaves the body, there is no emotion left.
And so he says when the mind becomes purified, the pure emotion comes through. Well, now, the purification of a follow-up question for this is, you know, the mind is made of the modes, you know? So I'm just wondering how, you know, we can, because the mind is made up of the modes, I'm wondering how it can ever really come into the transcendental mode of goodness rather than just stop at the material mode of goodness. You know, how can something that's made up of matter come to that level of purification where it exceeds, like it exceeds matter and comes to the transcendental mode of goodness? How is that possible?
So the mind is like the clear glass. Now there is nothing. The whole purpose is to spiritualize material things. Like Prabhupada said in Perfect Questions, Perfect Answers, Bob Cohen, he asked Srila Prabhupada, "What is spiritual? What do you mean by spiritual?" And so Prabhupada said, "Anything connected to Krishna is spiritual. Anything related to Krishna is spiritual." So a flower may look to be made up of matter, but when it is offered to Krishna, it becomes spiritual. It is made up of matter, but it becomes spiritual. Similarly, the mind is made up of matter, but if we are constantly thinking of pure goodness, constantly thinking of Krishna and associating with Krishna's holy name, that matter becomes spiritualized. From Krishna's point of view, everything is spiritual. Even matter is spiritual. It's like Prabhupada gives the example, when there is the cloud, from below the cloud, we can see darkness sometimes and light sometimes. If the cloud moves away, we see the sunlight. If the cloud is there, covering the sunlight, we see darkness. This is from below the clouds. But if you go above the clouds, there is always light. From sun's perspective, there is nothing called darkness. Everything is light. So from Krishna's perspective, even matter is spirit. Everything is spiritual. But when it is our perception that makes it material or spiritual. It's our perception that makes matter material or spiritual. So mind is made up of matter, but it can become spiritual if the consciousness is pure. The flower is matter, but it can become spiritual if we perceive it. If we perceive it for Krishna's pleasure, then it immediately, that same matter flower becomes spiritual. If we perceive it for my own pleasure, then that same flower now suddenly becomes material. So the flower in itself is not material or spiritual. It is our consciousness which is making it material or spiritual. So mind, whether it's made up of matter or not, it doesn't matter. No pun intended. But how is it actually being utilized? If in the mind we are only, the thoughts are only of Krishna, coming from pure emotions of love and gratitude and all of that, then the matter mind is spiritual. It's no longer material.
You know, we say that nothing is either material or spiritual. Everything is spiritual. But my understanding is that what makes something spiritual, or I was going to say, something material becoming spiritualized means that it will function the way spirit functions. But still there is a difference between matter and spirit. For example, the common analogy is an iron rod in fire, right? So, you know, an iron rod can be made to function like fire, but still, that doesn't change the fact that it is essentially, you know, it doesn't make it non-iron. It's still iron. It's just that it functions like fire. So similarly, I thought that, you know, matter is always matter. Like, you know, a flower dies. It doesn't remain, you know, fresh eternally because it's matter. But it can be, it can be made to function like spirit.
Yes.
So it seems like there really is a difference between material elements and spiritual elements, even though material elements can be made to function like spiritual elements. Is it?
So okay? You are right that there is a difference between matter and spirit, but matter, spirit, and material, spiritual are different. Matter, there is a difference between matter and spirit, but matter can become spirit. Matter can become spiritual if we, based on our consciousness, based on its function, based on how it's used. So,
if the effect of it can be, of it can be spiritual. It's still matter, but the effect can be spiritual.
Right. So, going back to your original question, you asked, mind being matter, how can it become transcendental goodness? Mind is matter, but it can become spiritual. Matter is not spirit. Mind is not spirit, but mind can become spiritual.
Yeah.
That is the whole point.
Yeah. Becoming spiritual, to me, I translate that as it can function as spirit.
Yes, but it's innate. It is still matter. It cannot go to the spiritual world. It still, you know, has material properties.
Yes.
But it is spiritual because of the function that it is taking.
Yes, okay. Yeah, I think we're on the same page. Thank you so much, Prabhu, for hanging in there with me. I do have just a couple of very quick questions because they're for repetition only. You were saying that, you know, Sri Ishwar Puri was feeling so humbled by Lord Chaitanya's request that he initiate him. So can you just repeat, in what mood did he finally agree to initiate Mahaprabhu?
Well, see, Ishwara Puri, he said that Nimai Pandit, these are the words from Chaitanya Bhagavat where it says, "Listen, Pandit, upon seeing your learning and character, I can understand that you are divinity himself, descended amongst men. This very day, I had a beautiful dream. In my dream were many people, and their hands were laden with fruit, O Pandit. To speak truthfully, upon seeing you, I am filled with an unusual feeling of transcendental bliss that surpasses ordinary joy." This is Sri Ishwara Puri telling Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. "In fact, after I saw you in Navadvip Dham, from that time on, I couldn't think of anything else but you. I didn't want to think of anything else but you. I'm speaking the truth. Upon seeing you, I'm as happy as if I were seeing Krishna himself." Upon hearing all this, Mahaprabhu humbly lowered his head in respect and smiling said, "I am supremely fortunate." A few days later, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in a mood of great humility, sought out Ishwara Puri and said, "Your Holiness, please show mercy upon me and initiate me in the Gayatri Mantra as your disciple. For want of the Gayatri Mantra, my mind is very much disturbed." Sri Ishwara Puri, upon hearing the words of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, was very happy and spoke, "Whether I am giving you my words in speech or a mantra, it is my life I wish to give you. I wish to give you everything I have." After this, Sri Ishwara Puri initiated Sri Gaurasundar in the divine mantra. So this is
He was giving the mantra in the mood that I want to give my entire life in the form of this mantra to you.
Uh-huh.
I want to surrender my life to you.
Uh-huh.
So he was doing it only as an instruction of Mahaprabhu.
Uh-huh.
But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took it, of course, he wasn't taking it in that way. He was saying, he's my spiritual master.
Yeah. Mm. And when Ishwara Puri was telling about his dream, he said that there were, you know, all these people that were carrying fruits. What was the connection to this? The people.
It is not explained herein. It is not explained here. That what was the fruit? Why did he dream like that? But I can only guess that it could be the fruit of love of God, which Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to distribute. Even Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says in Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat that I have so many fruits, but I cannot distribute it alone. I want you to help me distribute these fruits to his devotees. From that reference, it's not explained in detail here what the fruit dream meant. But there could be a connection with the fruit of love of God.
Yeah, makes sense. Just one last quick thing. You know, you were saying that Lord Shiva has the snakes around him. I think you were saying that was because maybe it was to remind him of his worship of the Lord, which is Lord Sankarshan, right?
Yes.
And Lord Sankarshan is the same as the multi-hooded Anantashesh, right? The snake. Is that the connection?
Yes. Now, yes. Sankarshan is an expansion of Balaram, and the expansion of Anantashesh also. There are four Chakravyuha expansion: Pradyumna, Niruddha, Vasudeva, and Sankarshan. So that Sankarshan, that Sankarshan is coming from Balaram, and So Prabhupada says in his purport to Srimad Bhagavatam in third canto, he says, in order to get released from false ego, one has to worship Sankarshan. Sankarshan is also worshipped through Lord Shiva. The snakes which cover the body of Lord Shiva are representations of Sankarshan. And Lord Shiva is always absorbed in meditation upon Sankarshan. So yes, so, you know, this is Anantashesh.
Sankarshan is an expansion of Anantashesh, not the other way around.
Yeah.
But if we want release from the false ego, we don't have to worship Sankarshan, separately, right? We just the mantra is sufficient, isn't it?
Yes, Krishna is the source of Sankarshan. And Krishna is the source of everything. So when we worship Krishna, we are worshipping everyone. But Lord Shiva, specifically, he's meditating on Sankarshan.
Yeah, okay. Okay, Prabhu, thank you very, very much.
Thank you. Any other questions or comments?
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Please accept my humble obeisance. Sir. Thank you so much for wonderful class. I have one question, Prabhuji, regarding the Shivratri fast. I mean, do we Vaishnavas keep fast on Mahashivratri?
So what is the question?
Regarding the keeping the fast on Shivratri, should we do? I mean, as a Vaishnava.
Well, some devotees do it, but we Vaishnava, Prabhupada says that Vaishnava or aspiring Vaishnava, we worship Lord Shiva on this day to receive his blessings, to become a better devotee, and not to attain the residence of the abode of Lord Shiva. So,
yeah, so I think if we, fast in that mood, like to get Lord Shiva's blessing, like to advance in like spiritual, like devotion to Krishna, then I think it's okay. Yeah.
But in Hari Bhakti Vilas of Srila Gopal Bhatta Goswami, it says that for the pleasure of Lord Krishna, a Vaishnava can also, should always take a vow to fast on Shivratri. And if we, in Hari Bhakti Vilas it says, in Kurma Puran also it says that we should fast. But Srila Prabhupada did not mention anything about fasting on Shivratri. But we should not, if someone wants to fast, they should. And we don't stop them from fasting. But Srila Prabhupada did not, did not say anything about fasting or anything of that sort on Shivratri. Just like he instituted for Vaishnava Acharya's appearance, disappearance day, fasting till noon and all of that. For Lord Shivratri, he did not say anything about fasting. He did say about glorifying Lord Shiva, but nothing about fast. Hari Bhakti Vilas does say about fasting, but since we accept through Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada never did that, so it's not like mandatory, but if you do it, then you can, but do it with the consciousness to please Krishna by honoring his devotee, Lord Shiva.
Okay, Prabhu, thank you. Hari Bhakti.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, Dhanvat Pranam. May I know why Shiva meditates upon Sankarsana? So that means he knows Krishna as a supreme, or like is there any particular reason why he worships only meditates on Sankarsana?
He knows that Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead. He knows that Krishna is the source of even Sankarsana, but he is attracted to Sankarsana, and so in that sense he worships Sankarsana also, because Sankarsana is the origin of ego, and so in that sense he is worshiping Sankarsana also. But just like there are devotees of Lord Rama, they may know that, like Hanuman, he knows Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but he is attracted to Lord Rama. Prahlad Maharaj knows that Krishna is the source of all incarnations, but he is attracted to Narsingadev. So there are different devotees who are attracted to different incarnations, and their devotion is perfect. So similarly, Lord Shiva is attracted to Sankarsana, even though he knows Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Okay, Prabhu, thank you.
Thank you. Okay, any other questions or comments?
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Koti Koti Dandat Pranam, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Gurudev Kiji. As usual, very nectarian class. Prabhuji, can you teach us one Vaishnava song to all of us?
Okay. Which Vaishnava song do you want to sing?
Whatever you like, Prabhuji. Thank you.
We can sing Ohe Vaishnava Thakur.
Jai Ho!
ओ हे वैष्णव ठाकुर दयार सागर हे दासे करुणा करी दिया पद छाया सदय माया तुमार चरण धरी छाया बैगामी छाया शोषा सोधी छाया गुना देहो दासे छाया सत्संगा देहो हे आमारे गोसे छी संगेरा आसे एका की आमारा नहीं पाया बाला हरि नाम संकीर्तने तुमी कृपा करी श्रद्धा बिंदु दिया देहो कृष्ण नाम धने कृष्ण से तुम्हारा कृष्ण दीते पार तुम्हार शक्ति आछे आमी तो कंगाला कृष्णा कृष्णा बोली धाई तव पाछे पाछे ओ हे वैष्णव ठाकुरा दयार सागर हे दासे करुणा कही जय वैष्णव ठाकुर की
जय
ईश्वरपुरी की जय पतित पावन श्री शिव की शिव ठाकुर की जय
जय थैंक यू प्रभु जी जय अद्वैत चंद्र प्रभु की जय कोटि कोटि दंडवत
प्रणाम थैंक यू सो मच प्रभु जी सो इफ नो वन हैज एनी क्वेश्चन और कमेंट्स फॉर प्रभु जी नाउ वी कैन एंड द कॉल ओके सो थैंक यू सो मच प्रभु जी फॉर गिविंग अ वैल्युएबल एसोसिएशन वांछाम कर्तव्य कृपा सिंधु पतिता नाम पामने भ्यो वैश्यभ्यो नमो नम अनंत कोटि वैश्य वंद की जय श्री प्रभुपाद की जय अद्वैत चंद्र प्रभु की जय